even more so do more than even what we do now in the area of outreach and things like that. Not only upon the Navajo and Apache Nation, but here, and to be more effective. And so to do that, I don't want to see the church's finances become burdened with brick and mortar payments. But at the same time, we need a place. Amen? And to do everything God's called us to do. So please keep that in prayer and move forward. Okay, are y'all ready for the word? I'm going to share a word with you, then we're going to play this video, and for some of you, I'll see you soon. But anyway, I shared with you last week about the story of the prodigal son, a story we all know so well. And the whole point of what, if you remember, it wasn't just that the son was forgiven, he was restored. When he came home, he was restored to sonship. Amen? And it's a powerful privilege to be a son of God, to not just be a hired servant. Amen? And Jesus said this, he said, no longer do I call you slaves, but I call you friend. Because here's what he said, because slaves do not know what the master is doing. Amen? Slaves just do what they do. Amen? But he said, but I call you friends because everything that the Father, now Jesus is the Son of God. He said, everything that the Father has revealed to me, I show it to you. And I reveal it to you. It's a powerful principle of understanding the honor of sonship. And this is not a gender thing, ladies. Amen? Sometimes I'll say sons and daughters of God just so everybody feels included. But we are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, okay? So let's not get hung up on that part of it. Here's the thing. Here's what I want to challenge you with. I'm looking around this room and I know most of you, and I know that most of you have received Christ. You've been born again. Therefore, you are all children of God. And here's the thing. Children of God are led by the Spirit of God, but they also know what's going on. They're not clueless. They have spiritual sensitivity to understand what the Father's doing. And I don't know that we always pursue that when we get saved. For many, let's be honest, for most, they just want to be forgiven and they want to know that when this life is over, they're going to go to heaven. I mean, that's important to have that settled in your heart. But the problem is a lot of times we don't understand the joy and the beauty. And we end up like that older brother, remember? He wasn't living like a son either. He was jealous of his other brother when he came back. He didn't have the heart of his father at all. And he even said, I've done everything you told me to do. It was all about performance. How many of you can easily, as a Christian, get caught up in performance? Amen? Doing, doing, doing. And it doesn't mean, now if you love God, you will do. But you can't do to get love. You got to first allow him to love you. So if you didn't hear last week's message, I want you to be sure and get that. But I want to carry a little farther with it today, because I want to challenge you, because again, I look around this room and I know most of you, and I know you have a faith in Christ. And I want to tell you, as sons and daughters of God, we're to be seeing and hearing what the Father's doing and saying. We really are. I mean, and I think sometimes we need to remind ourselves, if we feel like we're walking around as though we were some type of, deaf and blind and dumb people, you know what I mean? I don't really like the word dumb, you know what I mean? Muted people. It's because we're not walking in the liberty of the Spirit of God that all sons of God should walk in. Amen? Because you're led by the Spirit of God, and therefore, so to be led by the Spirit of God, then I've got to know what the Spirit of God is communicating, that Daddy is doing. And we ended last week understanding the power of just being able to lift your hands to heaven and say to your Creator, Papa, Father, amen? Abba. To be able to affectionately know Him as your Father. Doesn't mean we don't worship Him. Doesn't mean we don't serve Him. But we do it from an understanding that He loves us as He would a child. He adopted you and me. Come on. He adopted a mess right here. Anybody with me? He adopted a mess, but He loved me. He said, I'm going to go the whole way out. Amen? Come on. Let's go to Colossians 3, verse 1. I'm going to share a few passages with you, and I'm really believing this is going to bless you today. Colossians 3, verse 1. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, who is Christ? The Son. Amen? Amen? If you've been raised up with Him, keep seeking the things where? Above. Where Christ is. And where is that? Seated at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. By the way, everybody look at me. In Ephesians, it says we were raised up and seated with Him in heavenly places. So when you seek where Christ is seated, you're actually seeking where you are seated. It's the family of God. Amen? Are y'all with me? It's very important to understand that. That's why we're told to seek that. Now look what it says next. Set your mind, I believe the old King James says, set your affections on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. How do you know that's not easy to do? Hello? Hello? It know one of the biggest struggles we all have as believers is to not allow all of our affections and passions to go after the wrong thing? Hello? Any humans in here? It's part of the struggle, isn't it? But set your affection on the things that are above on earth. Get this. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ, the Son of God, right? In God. Amen? And in Christ, who is our life, is revealed. Then you also, say, I also, all you sons and daughters of God, right, will be revealed with him in glory. Hallelujah. Say, it's worth it. Beloved, it's imperative for us as sons and daughters of God to know what the Father's doing. It really is. Think about this. Jesus said we would do as believers the works that he did and even greater works. But Jesus said he only did what he saw the Father doing, and he only spoke what he heard the Father saying. So if I'm going to do the works of Christ, then guess what? I've got to see and hear. Amen? I mean, that's how serious this is. And that's why we don't see the manifestation of things that have been promised, because of this very thing. And I'm talking to me too. I want to be more sensitive to his voice and revelation than ever before. Marvin and I were talking at lunch yesterday, just across the table, about seeing and wanting to be more of a seeing people. Amen? And what God's called us to do. It's kind of like this. We're in a family, the family of God, and Papa freely shares about the family business. Yeah. Amen? Which is the kingdom of God. No, I'm not going mafia on you here. But he shares about the family business. Amen? At this table, it's like, couldn't you just see God as Papa just saying, you know what, this is what I want you to do. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I got planned for over here. Right? But see, if his children aren't tuned in, then we're just those children that are running around out of control. Right? Still there? Hallelujah. A verse that I used repeatedly as a youth pastor all during the 90s, it was just like a foundational verse for me in ministering to that generation, was in Daniel 11:32. And in Daniel 11:32, it says this, by smooth words, he, now it's talking about the devil, he will what? Turn to godlessness those who what? Act wickedly toward the covenant. The covenant, that's that agreement that we have with God through his word, right? It's the covenant we have with God. But what? The people who know that. So what's the difference? You got a people that don't really know God. They may know about him, but they don't know him. And you got a people that know him. But look what happens. The people that know their God will do what? Say it. Display strength. And they will, some translations say, they will rise up and do exploits. I like that one even better. I think that's New King James. They will rise up and do exploits. Amen? And then the very next verse, the beginning of the next verse says, those who have insight among the people will give understanding to many. There is an insight and there's an understanding and there's a knowledge of knowing God that we need to have if we're going to do things for God. Are y'all with me? It's very important. I want you to see that. And we're to be a people that understand how to tap into that. Because the church is built upon this. And that's what I've been asking God. I said, Lord, I've been going back to his word over and over and over saying, Lord, you know, even as we decide how God wants us to look in the future and to be able to grow, but I want it to grow. It seemed like I've looked out that window 5 times today and seen that sign fall. And he just did it again for about the 5th time. It's kind of funny. But anyway. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he says, there's no doubt you're from God. He didn't call him the Son of God. He called him Rabbi. He wasn't ready to go that far. And because Jesus didn't reveal himself as the Son of God. But he says, there's no doubt that God's with you. He wouldn't say Father. There's no doubt God is with you because why? Nobody could do the signs you do unless God was working with you. I mean, nobody can do this stuff without God. I mean, we ought to take note from that. And then Jesus said, truly I say unto you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is just flesh. Oh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said unto you, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. How many of you know, none of us can enter what we've never seen? Are y'all getting this? If we've not seen it, we can't enter into it. That's why vision, without a vision, we perish. We lose our way because we're not seeing it. And sometimes I've shared with people what I feel like God wants to do, and they go, I just don't see that. And then I want to slap him. No, but I'm just saying, but we need to see what it is God's doing. And even as a church, I want to challenge you. We're not going to move forward as a church unless we all see the same thing. We don't need to have division. That's many visions. Amen? And the vision is very, very important as we move forward. Lord, I'm not going to share the vision today. The Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, will lead us and guide us in the truth. That word truth is an interesting word. The word truth just means that which is real. It speaks of a higher or a supernatural type of reality. What do we call supernatural? It would be anything that can't be done naturally, right? Like a miracle. It's called supernatural. The word super means over and above that which is natural. So when something happens in a service or prayer or anything in your life, you go, man, that was supernatural, right? God speaks to you, gives you a dream, gives you a vision, shows you something, speaks to everybody. That's supernatural because it's from another realm. It's called the realm of truth. The truth. Everybody with me? And here's the thing. Facts are facts, and I'm not one of those denier of facts, okay? But the bottom line is truth supersedes facts. Right? Truth is higher than facts. So I don't tell people to deny something that's actually going on, but what I'm telling you, put your faith in that which is truth. Because that's the only thing that can set you free from that which has you bound. Amen? Because we're going to be a supernatural people. Hallelujah? Still there? Okay. So, here's the word that started coming to me. I'm reminded of a simple phrase. And I think we put it in front of your bulletin this week. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said this, blessed are the pure in heart. For what? Y'all know what it says? They shall see God. They shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, how many of you know that does not mean, I used to think it did. I used to think it meant, if I'll keep my heart pure when I die, I'll see Jesus. When I die, I will see Jesus. Amen? Everybody with me? But it's about being able to see God in your everyday life. Keeping your heart pure. It actually means, the word pure means to be single of heart. Amen? Think about cleaning, and it's not just in that aspect of it. Like, if I just try to stay all prim and proper and very religious and legalistic, I'll see God. No. It's about passion. That's running after seeing God. Are you with me? I didn't say that so you could go out and just live where you wanted to, because we'll talk about that in a moment. Here's what the Passion Translation says of that verse. It's beautiful. Listen. What bliss you experience when your heart is pure. Get this. For then your eyes will open to see more and more of God. Isn't that good? Isn't that powerful? What bliss. I like that. When our heart's pure. And how many of you know that's true? When you set your heart and start running after God, you start seeing and experiencing things you weren't seeing while you were watching TV. Are you with me? Come on. Don't burn your TVs. Everybody relax. Maybe you need to. But a pure heart is after God's heart. Amen? It's a desire to see God. It's a singleness of heart that has set its affection. I want to say something to you, and I can't take credit for it. It's a very simple and yet it's a profound statement. Are you ready? People see what they're looking for. You come to a worship service. Are you looking for the glory? Guess what? You'll very likely see it, right? Are you looking for a revelation of Jesus? Are you looking for something you need in your life or whatever? Or just experience God? You see what you're looking for. What you look for, you see. Yeah. Amen? I mean, I wish God would come in and just whack us all in the head and make us look. But he won't ever do that because he's looking for worshipers, not robots. Amen? He didn't even just come down and program you to look. Amen? He said this. He said, if your eye is clear, your whole being will be full of light. Got to keep the eye clear. Amen? Hallelujah. Those who are carnal or naturally minded can't see truth. But in the same way, those who are unforgiving, pessimistic, who have a regretful heart, they don't see forward. They see back. They look at the wrong things. So we got to keep our eyes clear. Amen? A lot of times, I think we always think it's better. Have you ever heard this phrase, the grass is greener on the other side? How many know it's not true? If it's greener on the other side, it's because it's been irrigated. And when you get over there, you'll kill it. Yeah. will change. How many of those signs to change the scenery is not what anybody needs? Somebody doesn't need to change the scenery. They don't need another church. They don't need this or that. They need to understand so that God wants to heal our hearts and purify our hearts so we can see. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So we can see. Think about this. The Bible says the whole earth is filled with the glory of God. You believe that? Amen. Do you really? Do we look for it? I believe we can see the glory of God in anything. Yes. If we have that type of look. You hear where I'm going with this today? It's being able to see and understand what God wants to do. It'll change the way you look at work. Right? The way you look at a situation you're in that seems to be difficult and frustrating. But you can look at it differently. And you can actually see the glory of God in it. And God will speak to you through it. Amen? Amen? Jesus said this. He said to his disciples, he said, actually, more harvest is not what we need. He said, I need more laborers. But how many know you can't labor in the harvest if you're not looking for it? The Lord told me that. He kind of offended me. He said, you want to see more souls be won? I need you to start looking for them. You got to have your eyes open for it. Amen? To see the potential in every person you meet. It could be a possible person that's ready to receive Christ, right? Or you might at least plant a seed there for their future harvest of their soul. Amen? And so you start to see it. Remember what Jesus said? Lift up your eyes, guys, and look. And I say, look. And see that the fields are white under harvest. They're ready. It's ripe. He said, you guys, it wasn't like they weren't looking. It wasn't like they had blinders on, but they weren't. It wasn't like they weren't seeing it if they weren't looking. And so what Jesus did is, I want you to start to see, there is a ripe harvest. How many believe with me today, in this metropolitan area of 5 million people, there's a harvest? Hello? And of all the nations that are here, come on. There's a ripe harvest here. Hallelujah. I say that myself whenever I drive to places God sends me. If I'm driving onto the Navajo Nation soil or the Apache Nation soil, wherever I go, I say, there's a harvest here. Amen. Hallelujah. It's how you see what you look at. Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, forget what lies behind and press forward to what is ahead. Don't live in the past, beloved. How many know if you live in the past, you're living in regret? You're living in regret. You'll always regret it. And instead, you're to forget. I saw this quote, Anne Frank. So it was a meme on Facebook. And it just jumped out at me. Get this. She said, dead people receive more flowers than living ones. Get this. Because with most people, regret is stronger than gratitude. Whoa. My phone's in my pocket. Regret? No. Think about that. So we give a lot of flowers to dead people? Don't send me flowers this week. I love you. Don't send me a bunch of flowers. Send me Martha and the Melody and the Ivy. But y'all get where he's going. Isn't that interesting? Can I read it to you again? Dead people. At first I thought this is a funny meme. When it begins with the words dead people, I thought, whoa, this is kind of dark or it's going to be funny. Dead people receive more flowers than living ones because with most people, regret is stronger than gratitude. Wow. Whew. Let's take flowers out of it. If we aren't affirming and looking at people differently, then we need to check our hearts. Are we full of gratefulness? Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Let's be determined to be grateful. Hallelujah. And nobody would have to pump you up without worshiping Jesus if you were grateful. Hallelujah. We're to continually offer up the sacrifice of praise, which is what? The fruit of our lips that gives thanks unto his name. And it's a sacrifice because sometimes you're praising him for something you've not yet received and be manifested, but you're praising him because you believe truth over the facts of your situation. Hallelujah. For some of you, your breakthrough is truly in your praise. It's so simple to miss it. And when we start murmuring and complaining, then we get cut off from the glory. Look at Isaiah 40 with me. Isaiah 40, 28. Oh, wait a minute. You better get going. Hallelujah. What time is it? Okay. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of earth, does not, if I say does not, become weary or tired. I read that verse after I got back from my fifth missions trip. His understanding is what? Inscrutable. Amen? Now look at verse 29. He gives strength to the weary. Hallelujah. And to him who lacks might, he increases power. Say power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. Does anybody want some new strength? Then you gotta wait. God's not your vending machine. Are you with me? Come on. You gotta wait upon the Lord. They will what? Mount up with wings? Like, everybody stop. You are not a bird. But you will mount up spiritually like eagles do. Amen? With wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary or... Oh, Jesus. Or faint. Amen? I think the table and the carpet needed to be saved, so I baptized it. It's kind of the Methodist way to sprinkle it. You know. I can say that. I'm Methodist. Don't get offended. Hallelujah. I was Methodist. I got delivered. Oh, Lord. This is being recorded. Way to go, Marvin. Get me in trouble. All right. Don't live in the muck and the mire of this world. I heard a guy preaching at Yate. Or Rock Springs. Or Gallup. Whatever you want to call it. Everybody's had a different name for the church. You know what I'm talking about. He was preaching. He said, man, he said, God said, you can rise up on wings like eagles. He said, we got way too many turkeys in the church. Because turkeys will stay and fight it out on the ground, right? And when he said that, the Lord began to speak to me about that. At first I laughed like, you know, I'm a very humorous person, and I thought the guy was funny. But then I began to think something. Here's the thing. An eagle won't fight its prey on the ground. You'll never see an eagle sitting there trying to do something on the ground, but some of you know where I'm going because you've seen the meme that's been very popular the last couple of years. He picks up that snake. Amen? When he raises it into the sky, he chains the battleground. Yeah. Now that snake has no... He can't operate in the air. He has no strength. He has no power. He has no balance. That's what I was looking for. He has no equilibrium. He can't function in the air. And as long as that eagle's got him off the ground... But what's it saying to us as believers? If anything, let's on the enemy in your life, change the battleground. Amen. Take it into the spirit realm, amen? Where the triumph of Christ has already been attained. Yes. Hallelujah. Take it and show that serpent you're Jesus, amen? Hallelujah. But if you stay on the ground with him on his battleground, then he'll be glad to eat your lunch right there. Amen? And strike you. Hallelujah. Y'all receive that? Change the battleground. You are seated with Christ. I mean, if we all can really, even physically and spiritually, just go to Christ right now and look down, we can go, oh, wow, we've got this. Right? It looks totally different. We have that perspective. Amen? Hallelujah. I love the story. Let me tell it again. I've got to. Tommy Timmy wrote a book about this whole thing about understanding perception from where we live in Christ. And he tells a story. I think he has several little girls. He told a story about getting in with his little girls in a very crowded elevator in an office building. And he said his little girls, I don't know if it's one of them or a couple of them, but maybe it was just one little girl. But anyway, she's down at about his knee. And she looked around, and you can imagine all these businessmen came into the elevator, and all she saw was pants legs, right? And she tugged on Tommy Tinney's leg and said, Daddy, pick me up so I can see. And when he picked her up and he held her, she was just beaming. She was as tall as any of those men or women that walked on that elevator. You with me? Y'all see, isn't that a great picture? Isn't that a great picture of what God wants to do? And it's okay to say, Papa, Daddy, Father, pick me up. I need to see. I've got to see this thing the way you see it, Lord. Amen? It's okay. Hallelujah. You're not a wimp if you pray that way, by the way. Actually, you're quite smart. You're quite intelligent if you pray that way. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Hallelujah. He will not spare his own son, but deliver him over for us all. How will he not give us all things? Hallelujah. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Hallelujah. Glory be. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. Nothing can separate you from the love of God unless you let it. Amen? Don't define yourself by what you've done wrong. Be defined by what Jesus did right. Hallelujah. Don't define yourself by all the hurtful things that have been done to you. Amen? All these things that have been, you just don't know, Pastor, all the stuff I've been through. Oh, get in line, because we can all tell our story. Amen? Get in line, brother. Yeah, pick a number. But instead, be defined by what Jesus did for you. Amen? That's what should define us. We are in Christ. Hallelujah. Forget the past. Amen? Glory be to God. The woman's caught in adultery. What do they do? What do these legalistic religious people do? They drag her in front of Jesus because they're testing Jesus. The law says to kill her. And Jesus said, well, he took a lot of time drawing the sand and all of that stuff, and I'm not going to preach a sermon on that because I have no idea what he drew. Nobody else does either. And he stood up and he said, let he among you who is without sin hurl away. Throw your stone. And we all know the story. Stones started falling to the ground. And finally they all just kind of drifted away. What do you do with that? And Jesus looked at the woman and he said, where are your accusers? Now get this. He said, neither do I accuse you. Go. Finish the statement. He forgave her, but he said, go and sin no more. He didn't say, the next time you get caught in adultery, try to find me. Right? Come on, how many of you lived like that? I did. For a while, I'll just go find Jesus. He'll let me out the hook and the stones will drop. Right? Hello? He did not defend her adultery. No. But he did defend the adulterous woman. Shh. Honey, aren't you glad he judges like he does? And not like you and I would judge. Amen? Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Whew. Again, that older brother, remember? He came back. This son of yours, he didn't even claim he was a brother. This son of yours, he squandered his inheritance, your inheritance, on loose living and prostitutes. And you throw a party for him? Absolutely. And there's repentance, how all heaven rejoices. Amen? Glory be to God. And here's what I think resonates with Melanie's testimony today. And the Holy Spirit spoke this to me. How we are loving and being merciful or not is shaping and defining the people we have influence with.
Oh, wow. Good.
Did y'all get that? Because we're to be salt. We're to be light. And we're to have an effect. But how many know, in the same way, you can have a negative effect on people. Amen? Lord, help us all. Amen? How do we speak the truth? Absolutely. But how do you speak it? In love. And that's the key. And that was the key to Jesus' victory over people's hearts. You know, he came to put the past in its place. Guess where its place is? The past. Amen? And we need to learn how to leave it there. In the past. Amen? Philippians 3. This is the verse I've quoted it a couple of times. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, say it out loud with me, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? So we want to leave the past in the past. How many of you found this out? If there's some things you need to get rid of, you need to bury it. You need to burn it. You need to flush it. Amen? Did you ever try to quit smoking in your own power? Lord, no, y'all smoked. Thank you, Rick. As long as I had a reserve pack in the glove compartment, there was a problem. But when I threw him out the window, Jesus set me free. I know that sounds trivial, but I'm telling you what, that's worth a lot of things. So for some people, you got an unrighteous relationship. Until you end it, you're going to keep falling back into it. Amen? It works in anything in life. If we'll just let the past be the past. Amen? Say delete it. Push delete. Get it off your computer. Glory be to God. Jesus crucified our sin. He nailed it to the cross. And you know what? That hammer of mercy that drove it in doesn't have a claw on it to take those nails back out. Amen? It's forever been dealt with. Aren't you glad it's been dealt with? Let him cleanse your heart. Now, when he said forget what lies behind, he's not saying we should not ever remember any of the good things or the good memories. Those are called our testimonies. Amen? We don't forget that. But there's a lot of things we do need to forget so that we can press forward to God and so that we can see. Paul knew by revelation that his sin was... Of all the people that say this to us, this is the Paul that was called Saul. Amen? Who agreed to Stephen being stoned, who arrested and tormented and persecuted Christians before he was saved. So I mean, this is the guy who was able to say, I know that in Christ it's behind me and I'm going to forget it and move on. I mean, he did some things that some of us would never even come close to doing, and yet he was able to say that. So let me just say this to you. When you receive communion, what are we remembering? We're remembering what Jesus did for us, right? The price that he paid, the broken body, the shed blood. But equally, you should remember what's been credited to you. Righteousness.
Amen.
Think about it. You should as much. He didn't just come to remove sin. He came to impute righteousness upon you.
Yes.
Through his sacrifice. Amen. We should remember that just as much. Healing, righteousness, forgiveness, freedom, a new life. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? And when you're righteous before God, you're able to stand as a son or a daughter and worship him and pray to him. Amen? And know what the Father's doing. What a life to live when we know we're in tune with the Father's heart. And I believe this is the message to the church in this hour. Everybody believe he died to forgive us?
Yes.
Say yes if you believe it. Did you know he also died to make you a new creation?
Yes.
We all agree with that, okay? He also died to change you by transforming you into his image. Amen? Do you still agree with him? He also died to make you the son and bring you into glory.
Yes.
These are all scriptures. But he also died to make you dangerous to the kingdom of darkness.
Yes, right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen? He died to make you an ambassador of another kingdom. Hallelujah?
Yeah.
That you will take the kingdom of darkness and enforce the victory of Christ wherever you go and release the fragrance of Christ wherever you go. Last passage, really quick. 1 Corinthians 2:9. As it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all, ever say all, that God has prepared for those who, say it, love him. For to us, say to me, come on, you sons of God, God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one can know except the Spirit of God. Now get this. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Everybody read the last line with me. So that we may know the things freely given to us by God. I mean, no, when we're not knowing, we're living way short of our sonship's privileges. We're living way short of what God intended. Amen? To those who love him, to those who have a pure heart, they will see God. Amen? I believe there's some things that keep us from a pure heart. Obviously, carnality will keep you from having a pure heart. Also, again, as I said, focusing on the past. That will keep you from having a pure heart because you'll live in regret. But also, unforgiveness. Bitterness, offense. If you don't deal with that, I love what it says in Psalm 103, he crowns us with loving kindness and compassion. Now, he spoke to me several years ago about this, and this rocked my world. He said, yes, I've shown you my loving kindness and compassion, but I crowned you with it. So you would wear it like a crown. How many know if you're wearing the crown of loving kindness and compassion, guess what you're going to be? A loving, compassionate person to someone else on behalf of God. Amen? And the Lord said, you like to receive my crown, but you don't like to wear it. And I forgave God a few days later and got my heart right about it. I was almost offended. But what did Jesus say repeatedly? If you've been forgiven of your sins, also forgive those who trespass against you. Another thing that will cause you to not have a pure heart, can I be honest with you, is neglecting the word. When you neglect the word of God, this word is alive and it's active and it's life-changing, it's transforming, amen? And the problem is, this word, we've been on this all morning, the worship and everything, it's seen, Jesus said. And sometimes the very visions and dreams you want to see, you're not sowing seed in order to sprout that in your life. And when you abide in the word, not only does it set you free, but it's the very thing that brings revelation to you. Because this word is just logos. It's written. It's recorded. But when it comes alive, it's rhema. Amen? And it's a speaking word to you. And it'll open your eyes. A one word from God that is revelation will open your eyes to a whole new dimension of reality in the kingdom of God. Amen? But if you neglect the word. Remember Abraham, he said he considered his own body being old and his wife's body and that they were both barren and never had a child and how bad it was. But he said, but with respect to the promise of God, he respected the word of God above his circumstances. And it said, get this, he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Here's another thing. If you don't have the praises of God, if you refuse to praise God, it will keep you from seeing. Because it will impact your heart. Nothing will keep you focused on God because he inhabits praise. Amen? The enemy is silenced by your praise. But can I tell you, the real reason why people won't praise is ungratefulness. And the only remedy I know is to begin to praise and worship the Lord. Amen? Y'all receive that today? Y'all receive that? Faith sees something. And God's called us to be that type of a people. I believe if you wanted the remedy for it all, it's always worship. Because worship releases that flow of the Spirit. Sing and make melody with your heart and you're filled with the Spirit. But see, God never intended to fill you and cap you off. He intended to overflow you. He wants to flow in and through and to you and out of you. And worship keeps that river flowing. Amen? It keeps you focused on the main thing. Because I don't know about you, but I can do nothing apart from him. And I could that be? That's why the Father is looking for worshipers. Because a worshiper's got a flow going. I saw this story, and I shared it with some of you a couple of years ago. And it was from Bill Johnson. He said, I want you to picture a muddy hole of water in your front yard. And you have a garden hose. And you take that garden hose, and even though it's hooked to the hydrant, the hydrant's not on, the faucet's not on. And he said, I want you to take that hose and throw it into that mud puddle. What's going to happen? The mud and the junk is going to start to work its way up into that hose. Amen? He said, and the only way you can live in the mud puddle of life and keep your hose clean is to turn the water on. Because when the water is flowing through that hose, the debris and the things of this world cannot come back into your vessel. Are y'all seeing that? When it's flowing out of you, the enemy can't get anything into you. Are y'all with me? And I'll tell you, worship is one of the biggest keys. Another one, of course, is also releasing that flow to other people, to minister to them. But it begins at the place of worship. Amen? Y'all receive that today? Hallelujah. If you receive it, I'll shut up. I got to find a way to close this really quick. The pure in heart will see God. Anybody want to see? You know, I just feel like it's time. And I believe the Lord wants us to be more like eagles and rise up. How many of eagles also have a great perception? Eagles see from above, and God wants us to be that way. What bliss we experience when our hearts are pure and our spiritual senses are opened up and we get to see and experience more and more of God in his glorious kingdom. Anybody want that? I want to pray a prayer over you right now, if you would. If you guys would get that video ready, please. I want to pray a prayer over you right now. Would you just close your eyes? And I don't even want you to pray with me. I just want you to let me pray over you and just receive it. I want you to respond with your yeses and your amens. That's fine. But I want you to hear what I'm praying. And would you just put your hands out in front of you as though you were receiving something right now? And let me pray over you right now. I believe the Lord wants to impart the power of this word to you right now. Father, today I pray, as the pastor of this church and this work right here and these people and this family, Lord, I pray with them, unto you, O Lord, create within us all a clean and pure heart. Lord, renew a steadfast and faithful spirit within each of us, I pray. Lord, cleanse all of us, our consciousness, from a dead works consciousness. And restore, I pray, in this house, Lord, the joy of your great salvation to all of us. For you are Savior, Healer, Deliverer, Lord, Provider. Hallelujah, our refuge and our strength. Restore that joy, I pray, Lord, that we may freely receive everything so that we can freely give. Grant us, Lord, I pray, a willing spirit to do all of your will. Purify our hearts, Lord, by your blood, Lord Jesus, and the sanctifying fire of the Holy Spirit. Cleanse us from carnality. Cleanse us, Lord, from the regrets of our past. Cleanse us, Lord, from all unforgiveness and bitterness and hurt and offense. Cleanse us, Lord, from ungratefulness. I pray that our hearts may be pure so that we may see. Help us, Lord, to not only remember the sacrifice that you made that washed us of our sins, but also, Lord, to understand that you have imputed righteousness to us. And we are grateful, Lord, according to the grace by which we are saved. that we can stand before you justified as the sons and daughters of the Most High God, and we can look unto you, Lord, and say, Abba, Father. Praise you, Lord. We set our hearts today, Lord, and our very affections on you this day. Grant us, I pray, I receive this right now. Grant us, I pray, a divine hunger and a thirst for you and for your kingdom that would override the hunger for the things of this world. That the heavens may be opened over our lives individually, over our families, and over this church family. That the heavens be opened that we may see and enter fully into your glorious kingdom. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Say that with me. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Just say, Lord, I receive according to your word. Be it unto me. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Stay in the spirit of prayer. Don't leave. Let this, the word of this video resonate in your heart. And then I've asked some of my brothers here just to close with a time, just a closing prayer. But I'm telling you right now, this word is powerful. And some of you, it's going to stir your heart to something. Are you ready? Are you ready to receive it? Okay. I love you guys, and I will see you soon.
I have already marked your seat.